Blog Talk Radio.
Wonderful holiday. I know that people on the panel, our panelists have, because only one of them is on the air with me at the moment. And I don't know why that is, actually. But
I had a great holiday season, David.
Oh, good. What did you do? Next year, next Christmas, next holiday season.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to rent a caboose and bring my family and take the trip.
Well, you better make sure you let me know when you're coming.
I'm getting all that done now because I know how quick it books up.
Yeah, that's right.
Anybody that might be listening, it's in Owasso, Michigan. You need to pull it up on the internet, and if you would like to, I know it's a great trip for kids. It's a great trip for anybody, but kids especially get to enjoy it. And it actually goes to a place called Santa's Village. You get to shop and see Santa Claus if you like and all those kinds of things, but it's like an hour trip up, an hour trip back from the destination to the village and back again. And it's a wonderful experience because it's usually snowing. All the kids have a good time. So you should pull it up on your internet, Owasso, Michigan. But now remember, this Polar Express books pretty fast. So by end of next year, by close to Christmas, you might not be able to get it. So you really want to get on there and get it going.
David, if anybody has any questions, have them call our show here. I'll be glad to address those questions and to put a little more emphasis on your buying tickets quickly. We start selling tickets about the second week or first week in March, and a lot of the slots, the spaces, are full within a few days and then a few months. So, David, you're exactly right. Especially if you have a bigger group, you need to book very, very early.
Right. And whatever week I decide to go, do not book all of the cabooses because I want one. I know. I think Michael just got on. Michael, are you on the line?
Yeah, hey, how you doing? How's everybody doing? Happy New Year to everybody.
You know, you're coming through. That's good. Bruce is having some issues, but we'll work them out. So Bruce might sound a little different because he's going through his phone. But we're glad that Michael's back with us. We're glad when everybody shows up for the season. So what did you do for the season, Mike?
For the holiday season, I just spent time with my family, kind of laid low, relaxed, kind of preparing myself. I play the stock market a lot, so kind of studied the stock market a lot to see where the market's going to be going in 2020.
Okay. We're going to have one of our shows to talk about so you can lead us on what investments we should make for 2020. Although my understanding is everybody's into cannabis, that's supposed to be a big issue. But I was looking today in the stock market, and there was a lot of comments about that's going to be a big billion-dollar business, and everybody should get in now. So,
I live in California, and it's been a billion-dollar business for many years. Yeah, I've been in it actually myself since 2015. And it, yeah, it is a very, very lucrative business. It's like the gold rush of the 1840s.
Wow.
Here in California.
Mike, Bruce is talking to you.
Yeah, I can barely hear him. What did you say?
Can you hear him?
No, his reception is really bad. I can't hear him.
Try to get him back.
Ask him, David. Ask him, since he has experience in Michigan, is just getting into the cannabis industry big time. Ask him what some of the pros and cons, probably more of the cons. I mean, we all kind of know what the pros, the pluses are. What are some of the negatives he's felt?
He wants to know the pros and cons of investing in cannabis. The pros,
just being that industry being in your neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. So he wants to know pros and cons of that industry being in your neighborhood. So what in your opinion are especially the cons of that industry being in your neighborhood?
Well, right now the biggest con is that it's still illegal on a federal level, which means although it's legal here in the state of California and I can get my license and set up shop and start making money, at any given time the FBI could raid me and shut me down. So that's the con.
So the federal government supersedes the state government and the state is allowing it, but the federal government can come in and regulate it under its principles, right?
At any time. And the fact that it's illegal on a federal level, you can't do business with the banks because obviously the banks are regulated by the federal government. So it's an all cash business. So you run the risk of obviously getting robbed and you have to move around with tens of thousands of dollars after everyday transactions. So those are the cons right now. Banking and the federal government just needs to get its act together and legalize it. That's the biggest con right now.
Okay. Did you hear that, Bruce?
I did. Wow, it's an all-cash business out there in Michigan. That's not it at all. We're setting up the four legs of the whole process, the transporting, the growing, the testing, and the processing. And ours isn't a strictly cash industry. I find that kind of surprising.
Yeah, because I mean, I bank with Chase Bank personally for my personal life, but I can't put any deposits from proceeds from marijuana in Chase Bank. They won't accept those proceeds.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, but the investment part of it is different, right? Because I'm saying that reading the newspapers, investors, they're all saying that is a big business to invest in. So you're not really handling any merchandise. You're just financing the people to handle the merchandise. It's a whole different category, right?
Yes and no. Yes, you're absolutely right. But once again, at any given time, if the federal government wants to go in and seize those funds, let's say you loan me $100,000 and I take that cash and go open up a grow house and start growing, the federal government can come seize that $100,000 because I'm using that $100,000 for an illegal activity under their guidelines.
But isn't the federal government supposed to be legalizing it across the board? Wait a minute. How can the states do it if the federal government doesn't allow it? That's confusing me because the states work under the federal laws supersede state law because it's the top of the line. How can the states do it if the federal law is not allowing it? I'm confused.
That's the struggle right now. That's the million-dollar question right now. 30 states have legalized it, and the federal government has yet to legalize it. So that's the million-dollar struggle right now.
Is the federal government just kind of looking the other way temporarily? Is that what's going on?
No, it's really, it boils down to Mitch McConnell right now. The leader of the Senate says he refuses to bring it up to vote. The lower house, the Congress, said they'll pass it, and Nancy Pelosi will pass it in a heartbeat. But Mitch McConnell refuses to pass it, so it's stuck in the Senate. And Donald Trump even said he would sign it. Trump said he'd sign it if it hit his desk. But Mitch McConnell's holding it up.
Mitch McConnell holds up everything, but if you look at his state of Kentucky, I think it is, they have some of the worst numbers of, you know, the more people hungry, more people in food stamps, that kind of stuff. Kentucky isn't doing that well. So he obviously holds up a lot of things.
Yeah, anyway. But Trump already agreed to, if it hits his desk, he would sign it. because the big banks like Chase and Wells Fargo, they're missing out on all those deposits. And a lot of his good friends own banks. So a lot of his friends are telling him, hey, man, we're missing out on billions of dollars. We need you to go ahead and legalize this. So Trump's on board. It's literally stalled in the Senate right now with Mitch McConnell.
Wow.
Well, and I hear, Michael, in Michigan, I hear much chatter and more talk about the mechanical concerns with marijuana, the high use of water flow, the high use of electrical utilities, the high use of or the smell possibilities if it's not handled and processed and contained properly. It's not so much here the discussion of whether it's a moral issue or not. You hear more about the mechanical than I have recently.
It looks like I have to say that my system is a little different because we're trying a new system, and I see that a caller has called in, but I don't know where this is coming from because it's all 111-111-111. So it looks like I have a caller on the line. Did you want to join in this conversation, sir or ma'am? Hello? I don't know who or what that is, but I don't think they want to join in. Anyway, let's move on. Okay, so let's talk about news, what's going on in the news. To me,
I have a question I'll pose to the three of us. You
all right.
Want me to do it now?
Yes.
Hopefully Michael can hear me. I think he can. You two gentlemen, what do you think from your perspective, what do you think it's going to take to get the two parties to get to a point where they're not just sniping each other, and they're both guilty to different degrees in different situations, and agree to disagree, but then agree to compromise and start getting the nation's work done? What do you think, though? Are there some key things to make that happen, or is it many things that's almost hopeless? What do you think, Michael?
I personally, and this is just being totally honest, Bruce, I think it's going to take all the baby boomers to step down and let the next generation, which is Generation X, move into position. As long as the baby boomers are holding power, it's never going to happen. And the reason I say that is because the baby boomer generation comes from a more racist generation. When you look at the Republican Party, every time I look at the Trump administration, I see no diversity. And when I see no diversity, I just think, okay, these guys are never going to work with a party, which is the Democrat Party, which believes in inclusion and diversity. So I think that's just the dividing line right there. I think it's the mentality of the baby boomer generation. So it's going to take all those baby boomers, Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi, it's going to take them to retire and step down and get a new generation of leaders in there for them to start working together.
I don't believe it's ever going to work together because our whole system is based on this side versus that side. And that's why we have an election, two sides, trying to win all the time. It's the way the system was designed in the beginning. And so with the personality that you have, there's going to be grumpy people on one side or grumpy people on the other side. It's never going to work together because it wasn't designed to work together. It was designed to be two different parties. Unless we have one party, universal party, I don't see two parties that are supposed to oppose each other, best of each other, come together.
Well, I tend to agree with you. There's the inherent you and me. I agree with that. Why don't they battle it out, both parties, with issues at hand? In other words, what's your opinion on how to solve this, Republicans, and what's your opinion, Democrats? How are you going to handle the economy, Democrats? How are you going to handle Republicans? Instead of this name-calling and just trying to position, saying anything and everything to get power position instead of doing it based on the issues. I don't know that that's just the baby boomers that feel that way. I think it permeates both parties.
Well,
I think, Spencer, is that you on the line? I have somebody on the line, but I can't figure out who it is because it's all these ones.
Excuse me?
Yes, sir. Do you want to make a comment?
Yes, I totally agree. I don't know whose name it is, but they were saying that it'll never work because there's two sides and they're opposed diametrically. So I think we need to find a common enemy, and that common enemy is Howard Stern's penis.
I missed that one. All right.
Yeah, that was a prank call, Dave. You may want to get rid of that guy. That was a prank call.
He dropped himself off. He did it himself.
Yeah, he said a very derogatory statement at the end. That was a prank call.
All right. So let's move on. I don't know if you guys will probably agree or disagree with me on this one. It seems to me that it was this big question about going to World War III because of Soleimani, the way that the president was taking credit for getting rid of this gentleman. But what seems to happen to me is when there's a big thing going on like impeachment or big thing goes on with the president, there's always something that he uses to get everybody's attention away from it. So we were doing impeachment, but all of a sudden he is now, goes over to kill this person. So I think that happens well planned. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think, Bruce?
Well, what a lot of people say that President Trump does is he obviously comes from a business background, not a political background. He's up to his eyeballs in politics now, but that's not his background. And I'm sure, like any of us, if we were put in that position, we're going to draw on, in a large part, on what our life's experiences have been and how we grew up and how our morals were formed and all kinds of things like that. So, he's never going to act like a, quote, traditional politician. I don't think he wants to. I think he said he was going to come in and shake things up. He surely has done that. And kind of try and change the old guard. Well, that old guard could be changed on both the Democratic and the Republican side. It doesn't have to be, as Michael said, and part of that change of the old guard is going to be when the baby boomers, like myself, are dust and in a box. But that's not the only thing. I don't think that's the only thing that's
going to solve
it. It's that long. Geez, we've got several more presidential 4-year terms we have to go through.
Right.
I hope that's not the case.
Hold on a second. Is that Darius? 404-821-7783. So, sir, does someone have a comment they would like to make? Last four numbers, 7783 on your phone? I guess not. All right. What do you think, Mike?
David, I think it's very scary, first of all, that the American government can just go assassinate someone anytime they want to because they feel he's a threat. I mean, that is very scary because as an African-American, you know how many times I've been told I'm a threat? I got pulled over and the cop said, oh, you look like somebody who was a threat. So that is very scary that the American government can just assassinate you because they feel like you're a threat. Secondly, if they're going to make the argument that he had a lot of blood on his hands, that's why they assassinated him. Well, George Bush has a lot of blood on his hands. Is it okay if another government just come in and assassinate George Bush? Of course not. So I think that's very scary, and I think we're going into some very uncharted territory, and I don't think it's going to end very well. I think it totally has to do with the fact that he was getting impeached and he wanted to change the conversation. Absolutely.
Where are you on that, Bruce?
Well, yeah, I kind of think on what I said earlier. I'm just struggling with the idea of, the thing I keep drifting back to trying to get both these parties out of the fast lane and into a reality of doing the nation's work is maybe we should be entertaining term limits. Like it was originally intended, it's not now. Instead of career politicians, you come in, you make your mark, you get whatever you want to get done or try to get done, and you go back to your real job or the job you had before. And we could debate about how long a term is, and they could be different for different roles. I mean, I'm not saying everything has to fit one classification, but I keep thinking maybe that's it. So they're not constantly rerunning for office the moment they get in. And that's both parties. That's not just one. And so maybe term limits is a way to start gnawing away at this problem. That's just a thought.
Right. Spencer,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Spencer. Spencer.
Sports.
I know. I hear people talking in the background to him, like, Spencer, they're talking to you. Why won't he answer? He hears me. Wow. Anyway, Michael, you were going to say something?
Yeah, David, I totally agree with you on that, Bruce, about in regards to the term limits. I think there absolutely needs to be term limits in Congress because it's enough with these career politicians, and that's on both sides of the aisle. I mean, Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell, they've been in there since the 80s, I'm thinking, which is almost 30 to 40 years, which is ridiculous and makes no sense. But the problem to that is it would take those exact same politicians to pass the law to say, hey, we need term limits. And no one's going to pass a law to cause them to lose their job. I wish the federal government did it like we do here in California. In California, we can put it on the ballot and the people can vote on the laws we want. I wish the American people can vote for whether we want term limits or not, as opposed to having it up to Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi as to if we should have term limits or not.
Yeah, I agree with you, Michael. The only way it would ever pass, it's sure not going to pass by the legislators. That's cutting off their own livelihood. They're not going to do it. You're right.
Never going to do that.
And the public does it and says, this is the way it's going to be now because we, the public, said so. And we're your boss. Mm-hmm. And you're going to go in, you're going to have a 2-year, a 4-year, a 6-year, whatever the term is, and then you're gone. There is no more. And look at the money that we, dare I say, sometimes waste on all this cost of rerunning to get your job back that wouldn't even be involved. You're in once, then you're out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk about, I see there's more people on the line, but anyway, one of the things that we are all holding our breath about is for two things. One is the Iranians who shot down the Ukrainian passenger plane, and we're trying to wait to see what happens there, but also Pelosi giving Senate the impeachment articles. So she's been holding them for a while, but she claims that she's holding them because she's looking for witnesses. What do you think, Michael?
I'm under the impression, I watched the press this morning. I think she decided to go ahead and pass them over the start of this week, I think. So I think she already decided to go ahead and send them over.
Well, that was because somebody wanted to talk is going to now do it. So she decided to pass the articles on. But she was waiting to get these witnesses, and she got one. So that was her. She claims was her theme the whole time was she didn't think the impeachment articles were that solid, but she needed witnesses to make them solid. And now that she has them, she's going to give them. So do you think he will get? Okay, he's already impeached. Do you think they will remove him from office?
Oh, of course not. The Republicans are going to circle the wagon for one of their own. They just are. There's no way. I mean, Mitch McConnell already said he's going to work with the White House. I mean, it's just crazy. The jury is saying, hey, we're going to work with the defendant here. It's like, that's just absurd. And, I mean, I hate to keep, contrasting it to race, but it's just a bunch of old rich white guys who are going to protect an old rich white guy. That's all it is. If that was Barack Obama, they would have drug him out by his ankles a long time ago.
What are your comments, Bruce? Do you think they will impeach him and remove him?
Well, they've already impeached him.
I mean, yeah, remove him.
They haven't had the trial, so we don't know if the trial is going to be dismissal or go through the exercise and have witnesses. I can't guess on that, but I agree with Michael. He's not going to be removed from office. There's not enough evidence or high crimes and misdemeanors or whatever you want to label it that they're going to take him out of office. They're not. And so I don't know what this exercise proves. I don't know what Pelosi was trying to prove in holding on to it. It's just gamesmanship on both sides, and it was her turn, to play the gamesmanship card. And I guess McConnell will be dealt with that or tagged with that when it gets over to the Senate. So, it's the same old, unfortunately, of making a lot of noise and spending a lot of money and not accomplishing much.
There are several young men who were born in Iran who live in the United States, and some of them are in the service. So it came out this morning that the more than a dozen of the Saudi servicemen who are in the military in the United States will be expelled from the U.S. They're going to take them out of the service and make them leave the United States of America. Do you think that's fair, Bruce?
But the only way something like that or any kind of situation that could be fair is if you had all the facts and figures properly evaluated it and then made an informed decision. I don't know if they're anywhere close to that, whether it's a knee-jerk reaction or whether they truly have a lot of reasons to do that, or whether they would find out with scrupulous detail of setting the situation that no, they should not be removed from the his citizenship. So I don't know enough about it, but we seem to do a lot of decision making without getting the facts first.
Wow. What are your views, Michael?
I'm sorry, what was the question again?
They're going to move like a dozen of Saudi servicemen who were, born in Saudi Arabia, but they lived in the United States and then they joined the service. So because there was the shooting a couple of months ago on a military base by a Saudi national Saudi person who lived in the United States who was from Saudi Arabia. Well, they're now going to remove all Saudi servicemen and expel them from the U.S., send them back to Saudi Arabia, even though they were born, they were raised in the United States.
No, I think that's a horrible idea. I think that's a horrible, horrible idea. You can't let one bad apple spoil the whole bunch.
Yeah.
So no, I don't agree with that at all.
Well, do you think that Iran shooting down the Ukrainian passenger plane was really unintentional?
Yeah, I think it was an accident. I think they were under the impression that was incoming from the United States. They thought it was an American plane getting ready to bomb one of their airports. It was near their airport. So I actually think it was an accident. And I think in that situation, we can say Donald Trump has blood on his hands in that situation.
Well, isn't it that in the tower, any tower man could go to talk to any airline? We couldn't figure this out. I mean, they couldn't figure this out. Maybe they don't have the technology.
They don't have the technology we have. They're not that bright over there. They don't have the kind of technology we have over here.
And one of the things, they just went back with David at the job. I agree with Michael that was a mistake, a tragic mistake. But they talked about some of these rockets that are initiated that fire automatically, not by human mistake, but by mechanical or computer reading. I don't know if that's the case, none of us do, but that's another possibility that it wasn't a human decision at all. In any event, it was a wrong decision.
Well, also today, President Trump issued a warning to Iran because there are a lot of protests going on about that. And Iran, Trump said to Iran today, do not kill your protesters because the USA is watching. Now, he already took us to the brink of a World War III. He keeps probing at it, seems to me. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I think he's the bully that he's always been. Now he's the bully in the White House. I mean, he bullied women for years. He's bullied minorities for years. He's just a bully. Now he has the power of the American military behind him. So now he's bullying another country. So that's all he's doing. And once again,
But the people over there, they protest and they're doing their own thing. That's what they're doing in their country, you know. And he's saying, you know, do not kill your protesters because the USA is watching. That's kind of hardcore for a president.
Yeah, to dictate another country should do. He's telling them what to do. He's telling them, don't do this because we're watching. I mean, yeah, to me, that's just the abuse of power.
Go ahead, Bruce.
To be totally fair, you should also add, David, that I heard today, I did hear, I think I heard the comment you just mentioned, but there was also another one that he tweeted or somehow put the word out that he was in support of the protesters when they started chanting and yelling or however they were doing it, that they wanted the leader out. They wanted him out of office, and Trump supported that on behalf of the protesters. That's not a negative. I think that's a positive.
Okay, so you're in your country. We're in the United States, and during times we have protests going on, especially way back in hippie days, they were protesting the Vietnamese War. Now, if England would have said, if you, you know, you should, and they wanted the president out. They wanted Nixon out of office at the time. But you didn't hear any other foreign countries saying, we want to get him out. Why would you do that? Why would you join the protesters to get the leaders out of office? That's kind of, I mean, I can understand you wanting it, but to put it out there publicly like that seems like you're having other countries form against you. You're causing other countries to make a decision either to fight for or against you. Yes? Right, Bruce? To me.
I would agree that, yeah, we're in that communications mode or lifestyle now where everything's instant with all these different IT ways of expressing that we didn't have back then. I would tend to agree with you that let's not stick our nose in where we shouldn't, or let's not stay in a fire we shouldn't. But if someone came to me and said, do you support the protesters because they're trying to, you know, bring on their style of freedom in their country, I would probably say yes. Why wouldn't I support that? But I also agree with your comment that, you know, that doesn't mean we have to take the most powerful position, a person in our country, and stand that plane. But I would be all for those protesters, matter of fact, I am right now, to do whatever they feel is proper to be more free than they are now, out from under a dictatorship. Without, we're not trying to change their regime, but they have every right to say, you know what, I don't like what's there, and other people can support them if they like.
Hey, Bruce, so let me ask you this question. So let's put that same argument on America. What about people in America that we want to get this leader that we have out? What's the difference there?
There's a lot of echo, David. What did he say? Did you hear him better than I did?
Yeah, he said, what if there are people, there are other countries that want our president out of office, other foreign countries, but so what if someone over there, one of the presidents say, let's just say England said, England said, well, it wouldn't be the queen anyway, but in Parliament said, we would support getting rid of President Trump. We support you trying to get him out of office. Do you think that would be fair?
Hey, David, take it even further. What if let's just say Justin Trudeau, I think that's the gentleman's name, the leader of Canada, the prime minister. What if he said, hey, I support the Black Lives Matter movement. Let's go ahead and get Trump out of there.
Well, it's not a question of fair or unfair. What you're feel about some other country saying that. Well, some other countries already have that back and forth, although I don't think it's productive in either direction. It's already happening to our country and from our country to others. That kind of dialogue's going on all the time, unfortunately.
Let me try. Spencer, are you on the line?
I am.
Oh, finally. Wow. Why don't you jump in on this conversation? What are your thoughts on this subject? Or have you been listening?
Not really. What was the question again?
Spencer, for all those who are listening, Spencer's our sports guy. He doesn't get into all these politics and things. If it's not sport, he really, you know, only wants to talk about sport. But, so Spencer, since we brought that up, why don't we take a big, quick jump out of the politics and talk about sports? There seems to be so much going on in sports right now. Tell us what's going on. There's a playoff. There's something coming up. What's going on?
Well, you have so much going on right now. You have obviously the playoffs. The last game of the playoffs to determine the championships is about to start between Green Bay and Seattle. You have Tennessee upsetting Baltimore to go to the championship. You have Kansas City beating Houston Texans to play for the AFC championship. You also have in the NFC side, you have But tomorrow is the championship between college football championship between LSU and Clemson. Everybody is assuming.
Who are you for?
Well, I'm all ACC, so I'm gonna go with Clemson since they're the underdogs, and you know they're just the underdog, and I'm all for the ACC, so I'm rolling with Clemson on this one. That's gonna be hard. It's gonna be tough, but I'm still gonna roll with Clemson in this one.
Okay. Who is it? Clemson and LSU?
Yeah, Clemson and LSU. Tomorrow night.
Yeah, Clemson and LSU. So why is Clemson the underdog?
Well, the Clemson is a defending national champion. It's just that LSU has been putting up too much points. They got the Heisman. They're playing in Louisiana. So, you know, they're going to have the fans behind them. They're playing in the Superdome. So, you know, and they just looked like the team to beat. So even though Clemson won it last year, they're still the underdogs in this one. But I think they're going to come out and play their hearts out, and it's going to be an interesting game.
Are you there, Michael? Where did Mike go? I think he's gone.
David, is it?
Yes, it's yeah. LSU and Clemson.
Well, then, I'm here to tell you LSU's going to win.
They are the favorites.
I'm rooting for them. I'm just telling you, LSU's going to win.
You know, they have a very good chance of winning. So, it's going to be interesting just to see with who comes out on top because you never know. Everybody had Ohio State beating Clemson, and, you know, they upset Ohio State, if you will, and came back and won that game. So it comes to the defending champ state. They don't play Alabama so much, and when they were scoring up points and looking like the best team nobody could beat, they don't beat them twice so far in the last 4 years. So they already seen it before. They've been there, done that. So it's going to be an interesting game. You know, I know LSU could put up a lot of points. They got the defense. But I think Clemson going to come out and, you know, play them guys hard. And in the end, I think Clemson would get it.
I would like Clemson to win, but LSU's going to win. Sorry.
Sorry. Say, Spencer, why don't you get in the bet? You and Bruce should bet this one out.
Oh, no. I don't gamble on teams that are not my team. I'm just going for them because they're in the ACC, but that's not my team. Yeah.
Well, so I would do this. If Clemson wins, Bruce has to sing a song next week. But if LSU wins, then Spencer, you got to sing a song next week.
Sing a song. I can rap a song.
Okay, I'll sing the victor. Hail to the victor. Hail to the victor.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
I could do a very good happy birthday.
Huh?
I could do a really good happy birthday.
You do a really good for happy birthday?
Yeah, I could do a really good happy birthday.
But it usually has to be somebody's birthday to sing that. But you can do it if you want to. We'll find out next week. All right. So, you know, one of the things that's very popular right now is CBD products, which would back to cannabis again. But those products are jumping off the shelves and people are just buying them. But currently, the FDA has only approved like one CBD product, and it's a prescription drug that treats two rare and severe forms of epilepsy. The FDA has not, they're letting people sell it, but they're kind of looking, I think, back, but they're not, it's not really been approved to sell, but everyone feels that it's helping different things. And I find a lot of people saying, and it's very expensive. You can get CBD products from like $15 to $115, depending on where you buy it from. But that seems to be another product that will be jumping off the market that will be, if you invest in, you'll make your return, you'll get a good return on your investment dollar. But have you heard a lot about CBD products, Bruce?
Well, what I've heard, if I'm hearing you right, is that the oils and stuff, you're getting the medicinal benefits without the buzz, the high, the marijuana kind of high. You just and it, if you see it in a medicinal way, that's less side effects and more benefits. Others, they might shoot just the opposite. No, I want the high. But that's what I've heard. Am I right or wrong in that? What have you heard? That the oil kind of gives you like pain relief solutions without the high of marijuana?
You know, I've heard people who have cataracts and those kind of things say that it works for them, and people that have, it changes the mood, people who have depression or anxiety, that it helps calm that. But there is no scientific proof that it really does that, but people are claiming that it really works.
They're claiming, yeah.
Hey, David.
Pain relief, too.
Yes, Michael, yes. What did you want to say?
Yeah, David. Yeah, I've smoked marijuana for over 25 years, and I suffer severely from depression from some tragic incidents that happened in my childhood. And I'm a living testament that, yes, it helps with anxiety and it helps with depression. Marijuana has helped me get through the last 25 years of my life. Without it, I don't know where I'd be right now. So I'm speaking from experience. A lot of people who speak on it, they've never tried it. They don't suffer from depression. They're just going by studies and things of that nature. But I'm here to tell you, it helps with anxiety 100%.
Yes, but CBD oil, it does not have the THC in it that regular marijuana does. So are you saying that the full product is better than the CBD oils or CBD products?
Well, yeah, I've never tried the CBD, so I can't comment on that. And I'm of the mentality, if it isn't broke, don't fix it. The THC helps me, so I'm going to just stick with the THC.
Hmm. All right.
Michael, you're one of the people that have never tried it and probably never will. So my question to you would be, without any judgment at all, I'm very curious, I guess you can only go from your experience, what does marijuana, what has marijuana done? What does it feel like? What does it do to help you with your situation?
Well, it helps me. Like I said, I suffer from some severe depression and I have anxiety. it helps calm my nerves. Like, there's time where I've had suicidal thoughts in my life. I've had suicidal thoughts quite a few times in my life. But when I smoke the marijuana, it calms me down, and I'm not thinking suicidal anymore. It helps collect my thoughts and my ideas. And when I was in college, I struggled through college. But when I would smoke marijuana right before a quiz, I would ace that quiz. I could have never gotten through college if not for the marijuana. So to answer your question, it calms me your nerves. It helps collect your thoughts. It's sort of a medicine. It's like asking a person with, I would say, Alzheimer's or some Parkinson's disease, when you take this medicine, what does it do for you? Well, the medicine helps me. That's all I can really say. It helps my disease.
Well, there's got to be a lot of people that agree with their own solutions with marijuana, as you have with yours, because I would guess eventually we're going to have almost every state in the union approving it, whether you like it or not. Don't you think it'll probably get approved even a lot more states than it is right now?
Oh, without a doubt. I think there's, like I said, there's 30 that have approved it, so more than a majority of the states have already approved it. And the funny part about it is the conservative states that have not approved it. All the liberal states have okayed it. Texas, being one of the largest states in the union, has not approved it yet. Well, that's a Republican state. So, once again, it goes back to politics. The conservatives don't want it, but the liberals do.
Yeah, I apologize. I can't hear you very well. There's a lot of echo. But if it helps you, that's terrific.
All right. So, we got about 15 minutes left in the program, and I want to give everybody a chance to, because we haven't been here in a while, and so much has gone on in the world. What would you like to talk about, Ruth? What do you have on your mind?
Oh boy. I had that one question, but that's politics. I'd like to think of one outside of politics. So go to.
I have a question. I have a question. There is a gentleman in Georgia who is on death row, and he is to be executed soon. He has asked that they don't use lethal injection. He wants to die by firing squad. And death by firing squad has been outlawed because it was considered not humane way of doing it. But he said that lethal injection for him is not a humane way because it will cause him excruciating pain. Do you think a person on death row should be able to say how they wish? Because the United States used to give you three choices. Now they took them all away. Do you think a person on death row, and this gentleman, he did, his name is Michael Wade Nance. He did some killing and he was convicted of it, and it wasn't pretty killing either. So, but he agrees he should go, but he wants to go his way. Do you think that a person on death row should be able to choose the way they go?
Absolutely, I think so. In my opinion, I think, yeah. To make the argument, well, shooting death by firing squad is not humane. I mean, killing someone is not humane, period. It doesn't matter which way you kill him. If you kill him, you kill him. So, yeah, if I was on death row, I would want to choose the way I go. So, yeah, I think they should allow him to choose.
What about you, Bruce?
Well, and I would add to what Michael said and agree with him that it doesn't necessarily have to be a political display. If he wanted to go by firing squad, it could be in a closed environment and one person, one bullet, whatever. I mean, whatever they want to do it. I keep harping back to the fact that, they say, well, the way they do it is humane. And, well, let's take the humaneness out of it, because that's debatable whether it is or it isn't. And like Michael said, dead is dead. And if his sentence is, you are going to be put to death, and he wants to do it with a firing, with a bullet versus a chemical injection, I don't see the problem with that.
Okay, so Spencer, you're the youngest of the bunch. What do you think? Do you think someone should have a choice? Because I think probably before your time, Spencer, you had three choices. You had death by firing squad, death by hanging, and death by injection. And they took it all away because all the protests that was done about inhumane and got rid of all but except death by injection. So, Spencer, do you think a person who is on death row and will be executed should have a choice?
Yes, I do, actually. And if you ask me, I think death by injection or the electric chair is more, if so will, more humane than firing squad, because it's a form of torture. If you're injecting something in my body, it's, what I'm saying is that it's not a quick death. It's not a quick death. It's pain, it's suffering both ways, while, you know, the firing squad is just bam, bam, you're dead. It's a quicker death. And I think the other two is just it's just a little bit more torturing and suffering for the human being.
Yeah, I'm sorry. When I gave you the choices, I forgot the electric chair. I forgot all about the electric chair.
There's two underlying questions that need to be asked.
Sure.
On the humane versus, you know, fast versus not fast, or as Spencer and Michael said, if one of the questions trying to minimize, oh, we don't want any liability here, as silly as that sounds, that seems to permeate everything we do. And if they say, well, this is an injection, more humane, I think I heard Spencer say, no, it's not. And if he did, I agree with him, it's not. So if it's truly not about legalese and not about that, then letting them make it do what they feel is the quickest way possible, that's okay with me.
All right. Well, I guess another question I don't want to ask this question because I think everyone has an opinion. Do you believe in the death penalty? But it depends on, you know, how religious you are, because I think as a minister, you would say no, because death is only God's choice. So anyway, going back to Michael. If you had something that happened in the last, since we've not been on the air, and you want to discuss it, what would it be?
If I had to discuss something we haven't discussed, that's a tough one. It's just so much been going on. I would probably have to go with the fact that the NFL decided to pass on Colin Kaepernick, that the whole Kaepernick thing is over and done with.
Okay, Spencer, why did they, what is your opinion on this, Spencer?
Wow. That's interesting.
You don't have an opinion?
I mean, some would say, my opinion would be, I just think Kaepernick just wanted more transparency, and the league wasn't ready to give it to him yet. You know, and I think I've said this before, I think they handled it wrong, because Kaepernick was a free agent, and he shouldn't have been treated like he wasn't a free agent. You know, any team is allowed to sign any player long as they're not in a legal binding, like Antonio Brown. You know, he's part of an investigation right now, so it's iffy with him. But he was a free agent, should have been a showboat, if you will, to have. The NFL should not schedule all the 32 teams to come out and look at this free agent. He should have been able just to sign with any team, and because he was a free agent, period. And I know he didn't take what the league gave him. I think he was right in doing that, because he still wanted transparency, which the league is not willing to give him yet. It's not willing to give the players, as far as these social issues that have come up.
Okay. What do you think, Bruce?
You have to pose the question again. I didn't hear it all.
I think Michael was saying that the NFL not giving Colin Kaepernick a position was negative, should not have happened.
Well, in an ideal sports world, let's call it, if they're going to allow Kaepernick to show up and try out, then assessment and a fair and honest evaluation to get a position. If it's all just a show and the intent all along was not to get that opportunity, then they should have never done that. But, you know, if you're going to do it, do it. If not, don't. And then defend your position. So I guess that's the way I would say it is. If a bunch of them were going to show up and watch him, then they ought to give him a fair evaluation. Otherwise, they're just posturing and going through the motions. And that doesn't do anybody any good, him or the team.
And that's what happened, though. Okay, Spencer, if you had to, a lot has gone on since the last time we were on the air. What do you want to talk about? What would you like to present to the panel or get their opinions on?
That's so much.
Can I jump in with a question?
Go ahead.
Okay. I think, and this is me, this is my, what I want to put out. Just recently, an American soldier was killed in Kenya because the Kenyans were protesting, they were protesting the U.S. and everything. And I think that the United States has lost its prestige in the world. And for the U.S. to have soldiers in a country and a soldier get killed, that would have never happened 15 years ago, because we were well respected and people would be afraid of killing a U.S. soldier or a U.S. citizen at all, because then we would be at war with them. So we have just recently, last Sunday, there was a gentleman, a soldier, a U.S. soldier killed in Kenya just because they were protesting, didn't like Americans. I think that the United States has, they need to work on its brand. I think our brand has slipped and we're not powerful as we used to be in terms of the eyes of the world. And I think we all know this, but I think it's getting so that our people can't go. So I would say people who are tourists soon will be restricted from countries because they're not safe anymore. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think, I mean, there's no secret. So the cause of the reason why America isn't as respected anymore is because of the gentleman we picked to be our leader. Like, other countries are laughing at us. And I say literally laughing at us right now because we picked this buffoon to be our president. So, yeah, we're not respected like we once were. And I think it's sad. It's very sad right now. And it's going to be that way until we get this buffoon out of office.
But I also think the country is separated in two things, because there are those who do not like him and his work, and there are those that love him and his work. So there's two sides. How do we bring the two sides together? And I guess you're going to say get him out of office, but if he runs again and wins again, what does that do? Is the side who doesn't like him going to go into major protest?
There's going to be a civil war. I think there's going to be a civil war in the United States.
Civil War. What do you think, Bruce? We got 90 seconds to comment, Bruce.
Well, I think the disrespect or the change of what people think of us globally didn't start with Trump. He hasn't, in some cases, hasn't helped the matter. Sometimes he has, but it didn't start with him. It started several presidents ago. So we need to work on strengthening that position and regaining the respect that.
All right. I want to tell the panelists, if you will notice that I've changed our music, but for the next, So you get one this week. Next week I have another one. For the month of January, every four will be different. Then I need you guys to vote on which one you want. I'm going to leave it up to everybody. So. Okay, so I want to thank the panel for being here. After all this time, we need to get everybody back together again, and we will be here again next week at 6 o'clock. For all those, have a great week. Good night. See you guys. Say it again, Bruce. You what?
I won't tell you. I didn't like that music.